when you think of grief, you think about losing somebody, but especially when it's your mom, you really lose a part of yourself as well.
Yes. I'm so glad you said that, because I feel like I lost a part of me.
Yeah.
And me and my mom, we was best friends. Yeah. Like, that was my girl.
Yeah.
The original.
Yeah.
The original man. Grief is, you gotta make grief your friend after a certain point. You're not the enemies or friends, because you have to, I think, and I'm still working on this.
Yeah.
You gotta surrender. You have to stop fighting it.
Stop trying to tough it out. Like, don't try to tough it out and overwork it.
Yeah, stop trying to ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
Baby, if you gotta cry, cry.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't cry now, you're gonna cry later. It's gonna be way worse.
Yeah. You're gonna blow up on somebody over spilled coffee at work. Hello, everyone. Shanti Greenfield here, the host of the Shanti Greenfield Show. If you're watching this, this is actually my first episode that I've transferred over from the Talk Box. So thank you guys for joining me on my new platform. Please make sure you are subscribed to my YouTube channel and welcoming on my lovely guest, my my favorite tech baddie. Today we are going to be talking about all things life, tech, a little bit of tech, and mainly family dynamics, grief, womanhood, and all things. So let's get started.
Hey family, as many of you all know, I am on a lifelong fitness journey. I've been running in the gym, and I stay in shape and stay on my health kick by using my favorite products from ehplabs.com. They have everything from OxyGreens that is great for bloating, digestion, and immunity, and they also have OxyShred, which is an amazing fat burner that has so many different flavors, and they also have protein for anybody trying to gain weight or just stay up on your protein intake. Feel free to shop ehplabs.com and use my discount code Shanti in all caps.
What do you think like added to it, stress or anything like that? Because I know sometimes stress can add to a lot of diseases that Black women get. We're talking about my son. I'm like, yes. We know each other, so we're just up here having like the conversation. But yeah, do you think stress or anything added to it?
Yeah, for sure. Like, because I think that a lot of the diseases that people suffer from starts with stress. And then, like, so we also have family issues, too. Just like any other, like, I guess, Black family. Like, you know, we be having family issues. So it's like you have a sick person in the family. Well, sick people in the family.
Sure.
But also these, like, issues in terms of the family dynamic that make it worse. Like, I remember.
I agree.
And it's no shade or anything to, like, you know, anyone. This is just, you know, the truth or what used to happen. But it's like whenever some people in my family would come around, she would have to go to the hospital because it was so stressful. And I know that, like, my mom, she had like a really big heart and everything. So, like, before she got sick, she used to struggle with like boundaries and stuff and like having people come stay with us and you know, all of those things. And so when you're fighting for your life, but also you're used to not having boundaries, it just was a shit show.
It snowballs. It's crazy because it can make not having boundaries, it really seems like such a small thing, but it's so huge. It affects everything. Like, if you don't have boundaries, you end up doing too much at work, or like being ran over, being taken advantage of, not being paid enough at work. You end up in relationships where the guy or the woman doesn't value you. You end up giving too much. You end up in friendships that don't really value you, that are never there for you.
Yeah.
It's like, it's something that seems so small, but it can really affect your life.
It can ruin your entire life.
It can ruin.
And as we've seen,
it can ruin your entire life. And I'm like, I'm wondering why our parents, some of them knew about boundaries and some of them were able to, like, you know, get it and move forward. But I'm wondering why so many of them struggle with boundaries.
Girl, I think we have to go all the way back to when we came here.
Oh my gosh, just like.
It's just all kind of like interconnected. I mean, I don't think that there was like a specific moment that we can kind of like look back to, but it was just kind of like a cluster of them all.
This is the effects of slavery.
The effects of slavery.
Oh my gosh.
Just saying, we got no history.
Yeah.
We don't know our history, but I think what it is like, we're also here in like in America, mental health is not really, it's like getting more, you know, mainstream, where like people are like acknowledging it more and more, but still to this day, like people like, for instance, my dad, he's a Gen X, that's his generation. And
wait, that's before millennial.
Yeah, before millennial. He's not going to therapy.
Yeah. Oh, my dad didn't either.
It's like, you know you need therapy.
Yeah.
You know, and then I think that's another thing too, it's like, I'm in therapy. I've been in therapy since college.
I love that.
Yeah, like I've had like, I think 3 or 4 therapists. And my current therapist, I've been with her since 2021. Like, that's my girl. I love her. She called me. She's like, my Maya, how are you doing? That's my Maya. But, you know, it's crazy because it's like, I'm in therapy. I'm doing the inner work. And I'm like trying to be more self-aware. And therapy is also helping me do my grieving process too. But I'm doing the inner work and it's like the people around me, specifically like my dad, he not doing the inner work. So, you know, yeah.
Okay, that is something to talk about because it can be very difficult to be growing and to be around people that you cannot get rid of, specifically, yeah, that do not want to grow. Because with friends or with coworkers, it's like, I can leave a job. Mm-hmm. You can get a new friend group, but it's like with family, you can't cut everybody off.
You can. I've tried.
You can't cut everybody off. So I'm like, what does it look like for you being a therapist, growing and realizing certain things were toxic or certain things that you were lacking from your parents growing up, but also still being able to handle the relationship in a healthy way?
So for me, I'm learning like that you can opt out of anything. So you can opt. Yeah, that's one thing that I kind of like. I'm starting to live by now. It's like you can opt out of anything, but the caveat to that is that you have to be okay with the repercussions of that.
Yeah.
So if you want to opt out of your job right now, we don't have to work. But if we want to, you know, stop working right now, you got to be okay with the repercussions of that. You won't be able to pay bills.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I've opted out of my relationship with my dad. You know, so like I love him, but from a distance. Yeah.
You've opted, okay, when you say you've opted out, does that mean that y'all have a relationship, but you're not going to try to make it some super...
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. I can relate to that.
Yeah. And then it's like, so, because the thing with my dad is like, I think death really exacerbates issues.
The family dynamic.
Yes.
It like exacerbates all the problems in the family.
Yes. It's a highlight on everything. And like, shortly after my mom at past, my grandma had a stroke, like a life-changing, she's almost fully disabled stroke.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and so my dad, he had already had these issues with like dealing with his emotions and stuff and like being there for his family in an emotional capacity. Like he's there for
your dad's mom.
Mm-hmm, my dad's mom, okay. Yeah. But they all grew up together. So, you know, my dad's brother was like my mom's brother.
Your dad's brother.
Because they all
your dad's brother was like your mom. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
So yes. After, it's like I saw my dad, it's like he got hit into a piece. He got hit with my mom, because that was the love of his life.
Yeah.
He got hit with my mom, and then a few short months later, my grandma had a stroke, and I literally seen my dad crawl up on the couch in a fetal position, and just he couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, so.
That's tough.
Yeah. It was tough. And I think that he deserves empathy, but also going back to what we were talking about, boundaries.
Yeah.
You know, like he knows that he has things that he needs to work on. I can't put myself on the line and get hurt, you know, while he's working on whatever.
And get dragged, because we all gonna get hurt, but it's like, you're gonna drag me, because you have no desire to even go to therapy or even do any type of work. So
yeah.
I'm not about to be your punch of day.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. But like, you know, sometimes, I think when we were talking before, I was telling you about how like, after I lost my mom, I lost other people in my family who are still here, such as like my uncle, my dad's brother. Like he said some really disrespectful things, and You know, we don't really talk about that. Like, when you lose somebody, other people become, like, incapacitated in other ways. Or maybe they done did some disrespectful stuff at the funeral. Or, you know what I'm saying? Or maybe they didn't want to pitch in. Or, you know, whatever, whatever. But, like, I just lost so much. You know, one of the quotes that I like to say is, you know, like, nothing that I've gained is worth what I lost. You know, because, like, I lost my uncle, and then also my mom's biological brother, too.
Yeah.
Like, he's estranged. You know, I'm not really that close to my dad, so it's kind of like losing two parents, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I can't depend on him. And then being the oldest, like, I had so much pressure on me to just kind of keep everything together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, after my mom had passed away, I was making $15 an hour at Wells Fargo, and I was part-time. And I've had to beg them to make me full-time after my mom passed away.
Yeah.
And it's like, now I'm making the most money that I've ever made. And I'm making a lot of money, like, compared to people our age,
mm-hmm.
right? But it's like, I still struggle with, you know, sometimes I just work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I can't work because I'm crying so much because I miss my mom.
Yeah.
Or, like, I'm still dealing with the fact that she's gone. And, you know, that's what I love to touch on, the grief cycle.
Yeah.
It's not something that you kind of, like, arrive to, like, being done grieving or getting over somebody's death.
Yeah.
Especially, like, the death of a parent, but then also the mother, because
yeah.
our moms are, like, our first best friend,
yeah.
our first, like, the first person we ever know in this
yeah.
world, you know? And so I've been going through this process, and, like, at a time, if you would have asked me, like, a couple years ago, I'm like, oh, yeah, like, I'm okay, like, I'm fine, we're making it through. I was, like, kind of that strong pillar that everybody else would lean on.
The strong black woman.
Exactly, girl.
I'm a weak black woman now. Don't call me strong.
Those are fighting birds.
Literally, you want to
fight.
You
want me to die.
You literally hate me. Do not call me the strong black woman. No.
You hate my good.
Yeah, no. I ain't strong no
more. But yes, I don't want to be strong no more. But it's so hard because it's like also being the oldest too. Just that pressure.
And also in your situation, because so when your mom passed, you were in college.
Mm-hmm. No, I had just graduated college.
Okay. When your mom passed, you had just graduated college. Your sister, how old was she?
My sister, I think she was 19.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then your mother was still in high school.
Yes, my mother was still in high school.
So for you, I feel like you had to be strong,
yeah.
or what else would you, or else y'all would have been homeless.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
You literally had to.
And I even have, she's not mutual anymore, but this girl, who she was like friends with my best friend, and she was like, how is she in this house, and how is she able to afford this, and how is she able to do that? And da, da, da. I'm like, girl, you ain't never had your back against the wall, like,
yeah.
you know, because I also was a bottle girl too at that time. I had,
weren't we all?
Everybody was a bottle girl.
What a time. Gosh.
True. But I enjoyed it, though. You know, so basically I was hustling.
Mm-hmm.
I was hustling. That was also the time where I think we did our work, too. The product photography stuff, too.
Yeah.
You know, I got by. I made a way by any means.
Yeah.
You know. But, yeah, so, like, now where I'm at, it's just hard to appreciate the things that I've kind of accumulated, these physical things, because we got this idea as well, like when you grow up, you get the car, you get the house, and you got the view, and you got the clothes and the jewelry and stuff, and you go on these vacations, and you feel like you will be happy, but I'm not gonna lie, like sometimes I don't be happy, even
yeah.
though it's like you sit amongst a pot of gold or gold all around you,
you can't sleep,
enjoying
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely can relate to that. We are really hurry and excited to get to like the next thing. It's like, baby, there's so many other things that you need to,
girl,
yeah, that you gotta worry about,
girl, because like, you know, just to piggyback off what you were saying, so now at my current company, I've skipped like two management levels, so I'm right underneath a director at my job. I don't have any direct reports, but I do like lead client meetings and stuff. I'm so young, and I've always kind of been in leadership roles at like from a young age. Like I used to work at Lady Foot Locker and I was an assistant manager. They hated me. How did she get here?
Yeah.
I was the youngest assistant manager in my district my entire career. I was 19 years old. Leading people who was 40.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, they'd be mad.
They was mad.
They'd be real mad.
So mad. And so at my college job, it's kind of like the same thing. You know, I'm leading these client calls and stuff, but it's like I don't have all of the career experience or the corporate experience to kind of back up some of the things that I'm doing. I'm doing them. But that learning curve is very steep for me. Yeah.
And it, I feel like when you don't get the baby steps and you just have to jump to the position and then learn everything at once, it can be stressful.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're young. Do I want all this stress, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And like, it's like me. I have the skills. I know what I'm doing. I know how to do my job.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of politicking in the corporate world, that's something that I still struggle with.
Yeah.
I didn't, you know, yes, I have a business degree, but like, being having a business degree is so different than working in corporate. Corporate really drains you,
mm-hmm.
and you got to constantly perform mm-hmm. and code switch, you know. And I actually hate going to the office.
Yeah. So you can you explain to them like what it is that you do at your job? Because I think that's really important. That's a lot of context. Like you're right under the director. What is it exactly that you're going to take?
So I'm a data engineer. I create data pipelines for our many clients. I have internal clients. I don't really work with external clients or like customers.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that I work with are all internal employees. So, you know, I might make a automation for the VP or even the CEO to use to look at some data that they want to look at, or even just like a random Power BI developer. Or someone who creates reports in Power BI.
Are there a lot of people in that field or in that space in general who look like you?
No.
A lot of women or no. A lot of black women, neither?
Okay. And that's another thing that I deal with at work.
That's another stressor.
Yeah, it's another stressor.
That's another thing.
Not only am I young, I'm only 26, and sometimes I be forgetting my age, girl.
Well, I thought I was 29. If I am.
I'm gonna say 24.
Oh, 24. Okay. Yeah. Oh, because you know pandemic.
It took pandemic. Those
years.
It stole a lot.
The thing.
Yeah. It stole a lot. But so I'm 26. I'm about to be 27 in June. I'm Cancer. But yeah. So I'm young, and then also I don't have a technical degree. I have a business degree, and then also you know I'm black, and I'm a baddie.
Why does that bother people though? Because it's one thing to be a woman. It's another thing to be black. It's another thing to not have the credentials that they typically have. It's like, it should not be a thing, but it's another thing to be pretty and look like you take care of yourself or something. Baby, it literally causes so much commotion and I'm like, why?
I don't even wear my Fendi earrings to work. Mm-hmm. I just keep it simple.
Girl, do you wear lashes?
No, I keep it very simple.
That's their
I want them to make that I'm one of them.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not trying to think I'm a nerd too.
Yeah.
Which I do have nerdy tendencies, you know, but also like I just want to show people that you don't have to look a certain type of way to be a software engineer or a data engineer. You know, like you can be pretty. You can wear the nails.
You can wear a lace front. Maybe you can wear a wig. You can wear all that.
In a full beat.
Yeah. I love that though because I feel like you're definitely making space for other women to come after you that look like you. And I think that's so necessary. It's so hard being that person though.
Yeah.
Like it's hard being the person that has to be the first to do something or maybe not the first, but the only person that you see right now in your company. Yeah. Like that's
yeah. Cause it's like rough. Even though it's at my company, it is a good amount of black people who work there. That's because we're in Atlanta.
Yeah.
If we wasn't in Atlanta, yeah. It would be way worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we all kind of like stick together. I'm not gonna lie. The only problem is that like on my team, I'm the only black woman. Yeah.
Is there other black people in general or no black people either?
It's one other black person.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's rough.
It is.
That's rough.
And he's also older as well. He's much older. Everybody got a wife and kids.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Do you feel like you did not really, it kind of seems like you didn't have an option per se, but do you feel like everything that you've done, like, was it worth it to you?
I think so, yeah. Because I'm going to, it's like, yes, I'm stressed. Alex?
Yeah. Yes, I am stressed.
I am stressed. And, you know, I have these days where I'm just kind of like, I can't do anything just because, like, the grief is so debilitating. I'm not going to tamp you down, like, at all. I'm still appreciative to be in this position because I'm able to help my siblings. Mm-hmm. Since we don't have our mom, I'm kind of like mom junior.
Not mom junior. No, please.
I am mom junior for real.
Not mom junior.
I'm not saying that sarcastically.
Or I know you're so serious. I'm saying that because I hate that because that is a heavy load to bear at 26, meaning that you don't have any kids. I hate that for you.
I hate it for myself as well. But,
it's like, you have to.
Who would do it?
Yeah.
And also, like, I don't know. It's just, that's how my mom was. My mom was a giver. Like, my mom, she really did lay herself on the line. Now, I ain't gonna lay myself on the line for nobody no more.
Yes.
Learning.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, but, like, I'm my mom's daughter. Like, I look out for my people.
Yeah.
You know?
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I don't know. I can say the same with my mom. You know, with my mom, we're like this.
Yes.
But I think my mom is that person too, to just give so much to her family and like lay everything online. And we dealt with grief recently too, because my mom lost her mom, my grandma. And thank you. But I don't know, even just seeing my mom, I can tell that like grief is not, it's not something that you just get over. I think that it's honestly something that you probably never get over. Like, you probably never get over it. Because when you think of grief, you think about losing somebody. But especially when it's your mom, you really lose a part of yourself as well.
Yes, I'm so glad you said that because I feel like I lost a part of me.
Yeah.
And me and my mom, we was best friends. Like, that was my girl.
Yeah.
The original.
Yeah.
The original man. I wish y'all could see pictures of my mom. Like, my mom used to do music and everything. She done did, like, album covers and music videos.
Yes,
and
she just, and your mom is beautiful.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you. But, yeah, like, we were so close. And grief is, you got to make grief your friend after a certain point.
How do you
either be enemies or friends? Because you have to, and I'm still working this.
Yeah.
You got to surrender. You have to stop fighting it.
Stop trying to tough it out. Like, don't try to tough it out and overwork it.
Yeah, stop trying to ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
Baby, if you got to cry, cry.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't cry now, you're going to cry later, and it's going to be way worse.
Yeah, you're going to blow up on somebody over spilled coffee at work.
Girl.
Yeah.
Nothing. And I'm glad that my manager is very understanding because I've messaged him like, hey, I might have to take off the rest of the day. And he's like, okay, give me a call. I'll call him. I can't even talk because I'm crying so much. He's like, okay, don't worry about it. We'll talk later. Go take care of yourself. Get off the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me and be like, don't even worry about it. Yeah.
It's okay. It's all right, but yeah, I love him for that. You know, and it's interesting because I don't trust people in the corporate world.
Yeah,
I feel like in corporate, you're taught to, girl, like, in corporate, you kind of taught to like look over your shoulder all the time, and so I literally have PTSD from micromanagers and people who done been told on me or feel like they had some tea about me that wasn't tea, it was lukewarm water.
Yeah.
You know, it was hot water.
Yeah.
But my manager, like, he really do keep me going. Mm-hmm. And he makes me feel supported.
Yeah.
But yeah, grief has to be your friend. Like, and this is a lifelong friend.
Yeah.
I'm going to be grieving my mom. I've accepted the fact I'm going to be grieving my mom for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Because you weren't, I don't know. I think it's just different. I think both are grieving situations, but it's different when you kind of expect somebody to pass and then you're young. Okay, not only would you expect them to pass, but all of these changes happen in your life.
Yeah.
How did you become friends with grief, accept it, accept the emotions and all the things that come with it, but also heal and like develop into a new person at the same time?
That's the thing. Oh my God. I think the first step is like recognizing that you're not recognizing that you're not there and making sure that you have like a good strong support system.
Yeah.
Like my homegirls, they be there for me.
Yeah.
My therapist, that's my girl.
Yeah.
That's my girl. And also, since I don't have that eternal figure in my life to help guide me, because my mom, she was a corporator.
Yeah. Okay.
So any type of work I need, like any type of work advice I needed, my mom was there. Mom was the original, like, I'm telling you.
She right. Each of them.
Well,
yeah. Okay.
She was writing speeches for mayors.
I would.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't have that. So now with my homegirl's moms, I have that.
Probably.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shout out to the
homegirls. So I have a specific homegirl. Her mom, I go to her for like any type of professional help. Or really like when it comes to money, when it comes to business, like I go to her.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's just important to have a tribe. If I didn't have them, I really would feel like I was alone.
Yeah. That's so good. I think that you have good friends. I feel like God sends like people to fill in the gaps.
Yes. People. I agree. And that's another thing that I struggle with when it comes to like how my current life is, because it's like I appreciate everybody who I have to lean on, but it's like, damn, I miss my mom. I have a huge hole that is just kind of in me.
Yeah.
In my heart. Yeah.
I guess it's kind of like, I don't know. You have to learn to live without it.
Yeah.
Or live without it. Not the hope. Live with it.
Live with the hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, also make sure that you're not running to your vices.
That's the hard part.
Because one of my vices is like keeping myself distracted.
Yes. Keep ourselves busy.
But keep myself busy, yes, with business, but also with me is like relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I keep myself busy with a relationship.
I want to say maybe we have the same like trauma in some ways, but I really feel confident in saying that most people, I think relationships are vice for most people.
Okay, because
I feel pretty confident in saying that. I think relationships are advice for most people, because I think it's easy to, if you have a hole, whether it's from, because we all are missing things, like, but whether it's from like your relationship with your dad, your relationship with your mom, or family, I don't know, some people don't have family at all. Whatever the hole is, confidence. Some people have both parents, but the parents wasn't paying attention to them. Whatever it is, I just feel like relationships are the most easily accessible vice. And I think that's all you ever see in Black social media, is us talking about relationships. But we are literally the minority when it comes to healthy relationships and marriages. But I feel like it's the easiest thing to obtain.
I agree. And I think also, don't come, yeah, but having kids.
People have kids too willy-nilly.
Too willy-nilly, yeah. And having kids like back to back, you ain't give your heart or your body a break.
Yeah.
You know,
you're not giving your heart a break, yeah.
And I think that, kind of going back to what you were saying, like with the childhood trauma, is like, something is missing in your life, so you're trying to like, keep I guess that space filled with new relationships, new kids, because newborns are a lot. They require a lot of attention.
They'll keep you busy.
They'll keep you busy, all right.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that I wish more people were self-aware, but a lot of people, I think more people are becoming more self-aware. Yeah, I think more people are becoming more self-aware, so shout out to our generation for that. But I also think that when people talk about having kids, in my opinion, like having cars or having a house or something, and I think they're like when people say things like, oh, I want to have my baby's young because I want to be able to snap back and I want to be able to get my body like that. I personally just feel like things like that are super selfish. Me and my mom are close, but my mom was very busy when I was growing up because she was a single mom. And so I just think about how I was as a child, and I also think about kids that I've worked with, because I've worked with kids for about 2 years, 3 years now. And I'm just like, when it comes to the conversation of having kids, your body, your stomach, snapping back, your age, all of that stuff is very minute. It is very selfish when you're talking about bringing a whole person into the world. Maybe is your mindset ready to have kids? Are you mentally stable? Is the person that you're raising kids with even going to be a good father? Like, are they going to be in the child's life? Are you going to be able to be in the child's life? Like, are you even financially there to have a child?
Right.
Like, there's so many other things that I feel like should be a factor when it comes to having kids, but people are so immature.
Yeah, and I think for some people, it's a pride thing, like, or ego thing, like, they feel like, oh, well, my mama did it, so I can too.
No.
Or, you know, I'm not going back down. I'm a rise to the occasion, you know, type of energy. But it's like, that's an occasion you could not attend.
And yeah. Too, even with that, I'm like, how disconnected. I'm so glad that I'm not that disconnected from myself. But how disconnected do you have to be from yourself to like not even think about how you were as a child? Like, if you know that your dad wasn't there for you, or if you know that your mom was struggling, or you've seen your lights was off, all of this, how disconnected do you have to be to your own emotions to sit there and say, if she did it, I can do it? Other and to not be like, how did I feel as a child? Like, what would make you say, I'm going to do the same thing and not say, how did I feel as a child? Or what did I need as a child? I don't know.
Well, what did my mom feel?
What did... That's a good
one. We are thing. Not... Mom feel? Yeah, like, we're not putting ourselves in our parents' position anymore. It's like, you just kind of... It is coming from a selfish place.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, you're not thinking about what type of life are you going to provide this child for real?
Yeah.
What type of tribe do you have to support you and the baby? Because now I'm part of somebody's tribe, and it's hard. It's hard to show in front of other people. I enjoy it because I think that's just kind of what's in me, but I'm not going to lie and say that it's easy to be an auntie, you know, because it requires you to move your day around. It requires you to, you know, make sure that your car big enough, like right now. Mm-hmm. Baby, I got a poop.
Yeah.
And putting the car seat in the back
of the poop. It's being cool.
It's real hard.
Yeah.
And new babies is getting tall now. So my niece, she's about to be 5. Mm-hmm. And then she was actually born right before my mom had. And so she was a baby at my mom's celebration of life. But yeah, so my niece is 5 and my nephew, he is 2. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they are, it's a little bit of a gap there, but they love each other.
Okay, dude.
Yeah, and they're from 2 different homegirls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, my friends have started having kids too, and I've realized that like, it's a commitment even for the friends. I gotta step up to the plate. I gotta be more mature. Before we start thinking, we were talking about how y'all planned the cookout.
Mm-hmm.
And how, like, we do aunties. Yeah. And I was just thinking about it. And I'm like, oh my gosh. The traditions, the responsibilities are now on us.
Yes, yes. I don't know if it's related to, like, my sign or what, but I take pride in it. Mm-hmm. I really do enjoy, like, having the cookouts and cooking and... You like my
bag? I like stuff like that. I like hosting. Mm-hmm. I like setting the vibe for people. But when it comes to having extra commitments and responsibilities on my plate, I cannot say that I'm I haven't embraced that yet.
Yeah, I think that, and I don't blame you because, you know, I'm about to wake something up real quick.
Wake it up.
When it comes to, you know, the way that things are ran here, it's about capitalism,
right?
And a lot of us are being like crushed underneath the weight of how things are being ran right now.
Yeah.
The expectations, the hustle culture, mm-hmm. the cost of living, you know, inflation. So a lot of us, we don't have a lot of space on our plate to be there for others.
Yeah. But I don't have that much space on my plate just yet.
Yeah, and that's okay. I think that if we like come from a place of like empathy mm-hmm. and understanding and compassion, mm-hmm. and being the fuck for real with each other,
yeah,
and ourselves, and like, you know, things. I think things will work out a little bit better. Manage yeah. our expectations amongst each other,
yeah.
You know, but also like, okay, if you do have a free Saturday, okay, I'm gonna take the kids to the park,
yeah,
because I have that in me to give,
yeah, for sure. But I'm like, having a child is definitely not the same as being a friend of somebody that has a child. Mm-hmm. But even that, I'm like, I didn't even realize how much of a responsibility that was.
Being
like,
a friend.
Being the friend to somebody who has a child. Because I'm like, it's one thing to be a friend, mm-hmm. but to have responsibilities with the baby and be consistent.
Yeah.
Like, this is another thing added to the money.
It is. And then, nobody talk about like, when you got the babies over your house, you gotta get toys. Miss Rachel gotta be on for 24 hours in a day. Mm-hmm. You know?
It's a lot. It's a commitment.
It is a commitment. Yeah. They might not eat the same thing as you eat.
Yeah.
You know, you can't eat salad. That baby can't eat salad with you.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think kids are really just a commitment. The biggest word is commitment. Like,
yes.
The biggest word is commitment. I don't know if I made it. Do you want to have kids?
You know,
I think it's okay. No,
I don't know because, like, kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier, it's like I'm not afraid to admit this, and I hope that there's some people out there who feel the same way that I do. I think
it's always somebody that feels the same way.
I believe that too, mm-hmm. but I'm scared of being left. Mm-hmm. I'm scared of doing
that. I wasn't expecting you to say that.
I'm scared of being abandoned. Because
you have kids.
Yeah, because like I already have lost my mom. And it's still some like kind of abandonment. I know a lot of that was kind of like out of her control. But when it comes to emotions, logic don't always, you know, kind of balance that out. I still have those emotions of like kind of feeling like I was left.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of left to pick up the pieces.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to do that. I've seen so many women in my family. Also, my mom was a single mom, too. Mm-hmm. Even with having a stepdad in the house, you know, seeing her really do everything by herself still, I don't want that to be my reality.
Yeah.
I would actually feel like I failed at life if that became my reality. Not go camp down.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I think that is very relatable. I wouldn't say that my fear is being left, but I definitely have a strong fear of being a single mom. Of having to raise a child by myself and just having that weight and that pressure, not being able to, that feeling of drowning. Like, and I think that, honestly, unfortunately, it can make me very uncommitted at times. It can make me very flighty.
Same.
It can make me very flighty. It can make me very flighty because I'm like,
yeah. Is it flighty?
I think so.
What serves you? Like,
mm-hmm. I think it's flighty.
It's flighty.
I think it's flighty because, to be honest, it's like you have this anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And if I would call it anxiety, and I wouldn't call it doing what's best for you, because the situation don't exist, but it's like you have this fear around a situation that could be.
Okay, yeah.
And it's like, it could be that, but it also could be better.
Yeah. The sad thing is that I haven't seen better. Up close and personal, I've seen what looks like better on social media, you know,
and
or
it looks
worse. Yeah, I've seen what looks like better, but like, is it truly better? I don't know what a healthy, committed relationship really looks like. I've tried it, you know, and then also another thing is like when I tell guys, because I think they see me and they think that I'm like this girl who know how to cook and who want to be at home and want to clean, and my dream is to be like housewife and to be taken care of. And yes, I want to be taken care of, but the other that's not really that, you know, that don't really align with me. Yeah. Being somewhere else.
When I tell them that,
I'm still thinking about, you know, if I'm going to have kids or not. And, like, we haven't even touched on, like, the maternal mortality rate here in the States, or in the South in general. Or the infant mortality rate amongst Black children, yeah. You know? These are real fears that I have. And when I brought these up in relationships, they were undermined. They were not taken seriously. And I'm like, oh, I know for a fact you're not my husband.
Yeah.
I know for a fact you're not going to be the father of my kids, but you can't even take my concerns seriously. And these are real, like, this is the
data. There's data to support this.
I'm a data engineer. I've been sent articles to men before. My ex.
Please. Not you was sending articles, but...
And they still, it's like, okay, well, you got me in. It becomes like an ego thing for them, too. It's like, well, you got me, and I will never do that. And, baby, these are just words.
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, though, the right person, it'll... I feel like this now, so, like, just clueless and all about, but it'll work out with the right person. Or it just won't happen.
And that's another thing that they...
That's a possibility.
What leaves them kind of perplexed is that they really be perplexed. They be like, oh, because they think that we all want marriage and kids, right? I've told multiple guys, like, I'm okay with not getting married. I'm not okay with sharing it up and just wasting time together, but I'm okay with not getting married. If I don't find that life partner, I'm okay with that. I'm also okay with not having kids.
Okay,
yeah.
You're okay with it, like, you'll be happy with it. Not like, okay, you did my own. Well, at least I won't have to face this fear. But you're like, yeah, I'll still be happy.
I'll still be happy because that's another thing. Like, I'm creating the life that I want for myself outside of a relationship. I have my own hobbies. I got my own money. Yeah. I got my own house. Yeah. I'm not looking for nobody. Like, anybody who would be with me would be a supplement.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they would be an addition to what I have already for myself and with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel that. Yeah, I think that's valid. And I think, I don't know, when you get into families and all that, I think a lot of it too, I don't know. I think people who come from families where it was healthy, I think they think about stuff differently too.
Mm-hmm.
I think they think about stuff differently when it comes to relationships, when it comes to kids, when it comes to marriage. So, I don't know. I honestly gotta send a prayer up and just
hope for the best.
You know,
that's what I'm doing.
At this point, I don't know. Okay, but before we wrap, I do want to ask you. So, if you were, well, honestly, you don't have to say, it doesn't have to be child.
Okay.
You, younger you, is there anything that you would have taught your younger self or wish that you could have been more prepared for before your mom passed?
Yes, I would say, learning to say no, being okay with saying no, really. Because that's the people pleaser in me. Like, I just like, hey,
yeah.
I don't want to do it, but I'm going to try to make it, but you make it fit, you know, because I don't want to let somebody down instead of just being real with them.
Yeah.
And then I think the second thing would be money management. Because people be trying to make it seem like, you know, oh, I just need some more money or whatever and everything will be fine. That is true for a lot of people because a lot of people are, like I said, getting crushed between capitalism and the cost of living and inflation and stuff. But another part of that is it's like no matter how much more money you got, if you can't manage it properly,
it'll never be enough.
It'll never be enough.
That's something I learned recently too. I mean, honestly, no, I will say it. Okay. I think that most people struggle with money management, or most people, when you're young and you're in your 20s, especially if you did not grow up having money, I think most people spend their money the wrong way. Because I'm like, the clubs be packed. Is it that you need to make more money, or is it that you need to sit your ass down and stay in the house? So.
Wake it up.
Yeah. I think those are good, though. Like, those are things that I feel like I wish I would have learned earlier, too.
Yeah, they're very general.
Yeah. But, I mean, they're valid, though. They're valid. And I feel like they are life essentials, especially for adulthood.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. But this was a great episode. Can you give people your social media handles and where to find you?
Absolutely. So my name on Instagram is Enjoy Maya R. So Enjoy, M-A-Y-A-R. And that's really the only social media that I've been on for real.
Yeah.
Instagram. I'm addicted to TikTok as well. But no, I'm on Instagram. That.
And do not forget to like, comment, and subscribe to my YouTube channel. And we'll see y'all on my next episode. Bye.